Hello, everybody. This is Zia Mohammed Jani, and welcome back to Sales Talk with Zia. In these videos, what I'd like to talk is anything relevant to sales, sales training, things that I've seen over the last 20 years. I've been doing sales training for 20, 30 years, and these are just some observations and some comments that I've that I've seen on some of the articles and some of the thoughts that I've had. Today, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about coaching and how sales managers really have an impact on the development of sales reps, and especially the sales reps that are coming on onboarding your company. I was reading, and the thought came to mind of how important this is because I was reading an article, and in this article it was around it was talking about a survey of 1,000 private companies. It was done by Pepperdine University's Graziadio School of Business and Management. And there was a survey talking about looking forward to 2014. What's going to happen in 2014? And a lot of these companies, they're saying that that they're very, very optimistic about the outlook for 2014. And they're looking to, more than half of them are ready to hire new employees. Of course, that means the other half are not willing to hire. But of the ones that are looking to hire, they were asked who they were looking for, what areas were they really focusing in on. And the survey said, number one, 57% of these companies' top needs were sales and marketing personnel. Another 45% stated their skilled labor. That's the second need. And the third need was a customer service at 36%. And again, really looking forward to 2014, and a lot of people are talking about it might be a good business climate. Again, we really don't know until we get there. But with a lot of these private companies, and it's large companies as well as small companies that they were surveyed, they're saying that, hey, we want to really hire people, 57% saying we want to hire people who are going to drive the business, which is the marketing and sales. And got me thinking a little bit more about the sales side of it and who these people are that they're going to be hiring, the sales reps that they're going to be hiring. And interestingly, it's not a surprise that they're looking to hire salespeople. Salespeople are the ones that are going to go out there, get the business, really drive the business, or that's the hope behind it. But we also have to realize that these people need to be hired, the new employees need to be hired and trained. And many, many of these companies will have a very, very well-established training program. Maybe some won't, but the focus is on training new people that are coming into your organization, especially in sales, on selling skills if they're not familiar with selling, or if they're salespeople, on product knowledge, of course, and some of the activities within the company that they need to follow, like administration, etc. But again, the point is they're training salespeople. They're really focusing in on training salespeople. But really, if you really look at training salespeople, how do they really get developed over the long run? And the answer to that is through the sales managers, their first line sales managers, their bosses, who they're going to be reporting to. Many, many, many companies really focus on, a majority of the companies focus on the sales reps. But very few really focus on the skill sets, the coaching skill sets, the development people, how to manage people, the leadership skill sets of sales managers. Because if you think about it, when new salespeople come into an organization, they're going to either fill positions that are newly created, or they're going to fill positions that have been vacated because the sales reps previously, they've been promoted to the sales manager role. And most situations is that I've seen over the last 20 years is good salespeople get promoted to become sales managers. And there's minimal training that follows that sales rep who has a selling skill. They have very, very good selling skills, but they really don't know what management skills or what training or coaching skills are really about. And companies are usually not equipped to give them that training. Or if they do, it's usually a 1 or 2 day program. And then they're sent out there and they're asked to train their new subordinates after they come back from the HR training. What I'd like to do now is just to give you, if you're in a sales manager position or you're new in that position, I'd like to just give you a few pointers, few ideas on which would help you to really focus in on how you develop your people. The first thing you really, really need to do that I've always believed is you need to talk to your subordinate. Find out about how they want to be talked to. Talk to them about what are their previous experience. How have they experienced, what are the salespeople that you're going to be coaching and developing, what are their experiences with previous managers? What worked, what didn't work well? And what they think there's going to be some gaps in, you know, what they need to learn. Find a way of how you can talk to them, because that's a very, very important asset to start with. Once you focus in on how you're going to be talking to your people and what their learning abilities are, what type of a base they have, I think you'll be able to you know, have a better relationship with them. So that's the first thing. Have a start interview, a 60-minute interview with your people after they're hired. Not, of course, you're going to interview them hopefully before they're hired, and then they're going to go through the training process within the company, the HR-designated training process, and then maybe marketing, learning about products, etc. But once they come in, have a sit-down one-on-one with them and keep notes and have about 5 or 10 questions that you should have ready for them. I saw this in a recent assignment that I was on with a sales manager, and he had his own version of what are the questions and that he asks when he came on board. Actually, he took over a territory, a six-person territory, and he was their new manager. But the first thing he did was he sat down one-on-one and discussed how they like to be trained, how they like to be talked to, what type of support that they need, what are the things that they're looking for from a sales rep perspective, and that way the sales manager is able to, you know, to create the parameters that he can talk to them and train them and coach them. And the interesting thing is I talked to the sales manager 6 months after he joined, and I asked him, I said, what are some of the questions that he asked and what are some of the things that he did? And he actually whipped out his diary, and he went through every single one of them. So he really uses them, and he has them readily available, which is a very, very good trait that this person, and this guy's a fantastic manager. He really is. So, you know, that's one of the things that you would want to start out with. Okay, the other thing that you would want to know as a new sales manager, or even if you're a veteran manager and you're having you know, some issues with your people, or there's new people coming onto your group, first of all, you need to understand how people learn. See, it sounds very, very basic, but there's many, many ways that people learn. What is your learning, your strongest learning methodology? Is it by reading a book? Is it by doing? Is it by hearing and then emulating that? There's many, many different ways. We all use all of those methods, but there is one strong method that we all have. I, for example, I have to do things. I can be given directions on how to do things, you know, verbally, but after a while, I get all confused. But if I do an activity, if I go down a major street, even though a map tells me you go left, right, and we're told that way, if I do it once, I know, I learn from that. But that's my own preference, and that works for me. Everybody works differently. So if you're a manager, if you're a cerebral type of a person who likes to read books, who likes to write things down, and you think that, okay, let me write everything down and give it to a person like myself, I don't follow directions very well. When I buy a new camera, I start working with the camera itself, and I don't really you know, read the directions. We all know people like that. But if you're a manager who likes to read the directions and you go that very structured way, you're not talking the same language as your subordinate. So really understand what works for your subordinates, not what works for you. So you have to, as a manager, work with your people, not have everybody work, you know, into your pattern. It rarely works that way. So that's the first thing. Understand how your subordinates learn. What are the learning methodologies that they're very, very strong on? That way you'll be able to create a program, and you can talk to them in a different manner. Maybe there's 5 or 6 subordinates that you have, and these are the 5 or 6 different ways that you want to approach them. The second thing is you want to really, really understand, and you want to practice, is communication. Everybody uses that word. It's an overused word. Oh, we're communicating. Oh yeah, we have to. But there's a thing called one-way communication versus two-way communication. One-way communication is do this. Or I think you did this, and why don't you try it this way? Two-way communication is starting the dialogue by saying, hey, this call, what do you think you did very, very well on this call? Or give me your opinion on such and such. Start the dialogue. Always ask questions and have a two-way dialogue. That way, there's questions going back and forth and not just one way. In my training programs, what we do is we have a workshop on communication. And the interesting thing is we have a picture with five blocks, five different, whether they're going to be triangles or squares or rectangles. And we have it lined up. And we have a person from the audience, the group that we're training, come up and we have them tell everybody that's in the group, all right, I want you to draw this picture. Only one issue. It's going to be one way. They're not going to take questions. It's just going to be an explanation from this volunteer or person we choose and saying, hey, draw this picture. But then there's a second part to the exercise. We do it again with a little bit of a different type of a picture or a forms that we've got ready. And we ask the same person to do the same exercise, but with one difference: accept questions. And what happens invariably in all these years that we've been doing the training, I've been doing the training, is one-way communication is very fast. Usually in about 2 to 3 minutes, this thing is all over. However, out of 10 people, if there's 10 people in the group, maybe one person gets it right. Exactly. However, when we try to you know, expand that with a two-way communication methodology, going back and forth, instead of just 2 minutes or 3 minutes, it'll be 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes. The questions are fast and furious. It goes back and forth. But guess what? Out of the 10 people, maybe 5, 6, or even 7 will get it right. So communication takes longer. Two-way communication takes longer. But at the same time, it's a much more preferred methodology. Now, sometimes you just have to tell your guys, okay, do this, guys. Just run with it. But a lot of times, be aware that two-way communication and try to practice those techniques. So as a new manager, if you're going to be developing or coaching people that are working for you, or if you have new people, try to get that dialogue going. And it's very important to establish that dialogue early on. The third area that you want to really look at is training methodologies. When you're looking at training, if you're going to be training or if you're going to be coaching people, you as a manager need to understand what type of training methods that you can use to develop your people. Have them read a book. Go to a classroom session, a 1 or 2 day classroom session. Ride with their peers out in the field. Talk with their peers. Role play. Field training with managers. These are all coaching methodologies that you can use. Now, going back to the first point of how people learn, and if I'm a person who likes to do things and then learn, role play and field training is absolutely perfect for me. However, if I'm the cerebral type, maybe you want to have this person read a couple of books and then make a presentation. So there's different ways that you can adapt, but you as a manager need to understand what type of training is available. Right now, e-learning is the craze. Everybody wants to go to e-learning. E-learning has its place. It's very, very a useful tool. The only problem is, depending it totally on e-learning is a losing situation. You do have to combine it with other elements of training. So if my weakness, for example, is selling skills within the selling skills portfolio, I don't close. Let's focus in on that one area. And that brings me up to the fourth point, customization for the individual. If you have six people, you're going to have six individuals, six learning patterns, six motivations for working at the company. And also, you need to have six training plans. How are you going to be communicating with each individual? What type of training program are you going to customize for the individual? Now, large companies, a lot of times, they do have their own competencies and HR initiated training programs, which I call the macro. But if you're a salesperson or a salesman, I think we really need to focus in on selling skills. How do you prepare for the call? How do you handle objections? Taking notes during a call. Closing, of course. Those are some of the very, very basic ones. But these are elements. If you can just identify one element that's the biggest gap, the weakness, if you want to call it, for this individual, and you focus in on that from different areas, like reading a book, attending courses, doing field training, doing role plays, and you focus in on just that one element over a 3, 4, 5 months, or even 8 month period, the chances are that that skill for that individual that individual salesperson is going to be elevated. And that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to confuse them on every type of, oh, you do this, this is what you need to improve on, this is what you need to improve on. Just work one at a time in a very structured, customized way. And by doing it in a very, very structured way, which is the fifth point, by the way, you're really focusing in on what each individual needs. So if you can have understanding of learning, how people learn. Second thing is communicating one way versus two way, and try to preferably go two way. Third thing is having the training methodologies, understanding what's out there in the marketplace, and you as a manager dictating what this should be, and then having the feedback from the sales rep, this is what you should be doing. If you can customize it for the individual and you keep it on a structured approach, that would be a very, very good starting point, those 5 points. On the last note, let me just bring up one last point. Field on-the-job training, or FOJT as we like to call it here at Madison. Field training is probably the best coaching that that you can conduct for development of a sales rep. As a manager, if you can coach a sales rep before the call and after the call, but during the call are quiet, just observe what the salesperson is doing, you're on your way to become a very, very good coach. Now, that's the most difficult part, because it's so hard to keep quiet during a call as a sales manager, because you only work with them once a month or twice a month. And here you are in front of a customer. You want to participate in the call. You want to do the close because your selling instincts kick into place. But you have to put that aside, because until you can observe what the salesperson is doing in the field, let's say for myself, closing, until my manager can see how I close instead of helping me to close, then what happens is then the manager can tailor how they can train me. So coaching before the call with the salesperson, the sales manager should be coaching. During the call, they should just be observing, of course, telling the customer what the roles are going to be. And yeah, today it's going to be a little bit unusual. Usually I would talk and help the salesperson, but at this stage, we're doing a training exercise. And in my experience over the last 20 years, there's only a handful of customers, and I've gone to thousands of customers with salespeople in various markets, not only in the U.S. I haven't had a problem. I really haven't had a problem. But we set the expectations for the customer, and they understand training. So during the call, don't say anything, set the stage, and observe, take copious notes, and then after the call, coach them on that specific item that you're talking about. If it's closing, it's talking about closing. So go through these 5 items. We talked about how people learn, communication, training methods, training activities, customizing for the individual, and keeping it in a structured approach, and then also really implementing it in the field. I think you'll have a very, very good chance in developing your subordinates. But at the same time, you as a manager need to develop these skills, and you need to make sure that you are going out there well prepared. Well, that's it for today. We'll talk again. I'll make a few more of these videos. And if you do have any questions related to sales or sales training, coaching, sales personnel development, or just want to leave a comment on this video, you can contact us on Facebook, on Twitter, and our website, salesinstitute.tv, or on Madison Company. Nice talking to you. See you again.